numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
The opinions expressed by Stuart Venner are not necessarily the views of this station and should be regarded as rantings of a very sick, perverted mind.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to welcome you to this week's show. We have a great lineup of guests in store. We're speaking to Elliot Katz. He's telling us how a man can be the strong man that a woman wants. We're also going to talk to Master Chef Kevin Mitchell. He's the creator of tasty yet healthy foods. Frankly, I can't see how that's possible. We're also going to talk to Dr. Aaron Kipnis. He has written a book called The Midas Complex and how money can drive us to the point of destroying our lives. And finally, we're talking to Mark Ward. We're going to learn about self-sabotage, how one can do that to really destroy his own self in business and in relationships. And finally, last but not least, we have our weekly segment with Fred Claridge, the stock market moron. Fred again lost over $1 million in one day, and we'll see how he did this last week. I hope you did the opposite. Thanks. Stay tuned. I know you're going to love the show.
When I walk on by, girls be looking like Danny Fly. I pimp to the beat, walking down the street in my new freak, yeah. This is how I roll, animal print pants out of control. It's Red Bull with the big ass bra, and like Bruce Lee, I got the clout, yeah.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out. When I walk in the spot, this is what I see. Everybody stops and is staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it, show it, show it, show it.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Welcome back to the show. Folks, I have Elliot Katz on the line. Elliot is in Toronto, and he has written 7 nonfiction books. And what we're going to talk about is the 3 things that a man needs to be. And his newest book is Being a Strong Man That a Woman Wants. Elliot, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
It's great to have you. So you think that a woman wants a strong man?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think one of the big problems underlying a lot of relationships today is that women want strong men, and men today have been told all these things like be sensitive, develop your feminine side, don't be controlling, which they think, yes, don't be controlling, but they interpret as, well, I won't make any decisions. I'll let her make all the decisions.
Well, you're right. I mean, you'd be a schlemiel today. These men are schlemiels. They just are Casper milk toasts.
Exactly.
And I think a woman needs to be put in her place a little bit. The cavemen had the right idea with the club.
Well, no, not put in her place. She really wants a man who's a leader, someone she can look up to, someone who's strong, someone when there's a problem will step forward and deal with it and not just be oblivious and wait for her to tell them what to do. They hate that. They're fed up with that.
I don't blame you there. I can't stand that, being like that. And my wife is from a newer generation, so we kind of clash a little bit because she likes to take the lead, and that really goes against what I do and what I've been brought made up to be. And, you know, relationships are a little different, too, today, Elliot. There's not always just a man and a woman. Did you hear about that woman that sleeps with cats?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh, I thought that was your wife. That's bad. Well, can you tell us a little bit more about what you think a man needs to do?
I think there are 3 things. This is, you know, my own journey was, you know, I was married and divorced, and then I started looking for what is the insights that men used to be taught about being a man in a relationship, being a man in a marriage, and it coincided with what I heard women complain is lacking in men today. And there's 3 things. Show leadership. That's the most important thing. It's not about making all the decisions. I'm talking about men who make no decisions. Make decisions.
I agree.
They're so fed up when a man, you know, I've had so many single women tell me that when a man asks them out on a date, just for a cup of coffee, and can't even decide where to go for a cup of coffee, that's already a big strike against them. You know, you can't make a simple decision. How will we make an important decision?
Well, what I do in my marriage is I let my wife make every major decision. I let her decide whether or not we're going to have
socialized medicine. I let her decide who will be the president. I let her make every important decision, and I just make every decision about our household.
Okay, that sounds like an interesting arrangement. Again, the other thing is take responsibility. You know, so many men, they'll give in to their wives' pressure to do something they know is wrong. Then they go, and then it turns out to be wrong, just like they thought, and then they blame their wives. Worst thing, don't blame your wife. When there's a problem, take responsibility. Deal with it. Nobody has any sympathy for men today who blame their wives for the problems that they have. You meet so many divorced men, they blame their wives for everything, but they have no sympathy because human nature is that we expect men to take responsibility for what's going on in their home. And when a man complains, it means, well, why did you let it go on? If she spent, you broke, she overspent, why did you let that go on? You're the man. You should not have let that go on.
Well, that's right. You know, I don't think any woman wants to be with a schmuck.
You know what? If he starts blaming his wife for things, you're turning her, you know, you're not taking responsibility, and you're turning her off completely. She wants a man. Don't blame her, because she wants you to have taken charge. So you let her run, you know, take charge, and then it went wrong, and then you're blaming her when you should have been taking charge. If it was wrong, you shouldn't let it go on. Very important.
I think so, you're so right.
Show leadership. You know, she wants a man to take charge. It's not about making every decision, but she doesn't want a guy who's just like, oh, I'll let her make the decisions. And you know, then she can't blame me. And then take responsibility. Really, it's the insights that traditionally fathers used to teach younger men about being a man that somehow has been lost in this generation. And the amazing thing with my book, you know, it's been translated in 24 languages around the world.
Really?
It's like this whole generation around the world, these teachings have been lost.
Well, you're giving the old school, which is really the way it should be. And as you say today, I look at even the situation comedies, and the men are all jerks. They just, every one of them. I mean, they
exactly.
Just...
Exactly. Where's the young man to learn what it means to be a man? Many boys, they grow up, their fathers, you know, families are divorced, or their fathers work long hours, they watch television, they see men portrayed as buffoons, they go to school, most teachers are women. Traditionally, a boy learns this from a strong male role model, and that's lacking today.
I agree with you. I mean, men are just emasculated today by everybody.
We could blame everybody, but we let it happen to ourselves, so it's up to us to fix it and really just start I tell men, how should I change the situation? I've been married 10 years, she's run the show. Look for situations. Look for problems that need to be dealt with. Step forward and find a solution and implement it. That's what a leader does. And just keep doing that. Just keep doing that, and you will become her hero.
I think you are so right. Elliot, can you tell us again the name of your book and where people can get it?
Okay, it's Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants, Timeless Wisdom on Being a Man. It's available on Amazon as a paperback and on Kindle as an ebook and Kobo as an ebook. And it's available in bookstores. As you go into a bookstore and they're sold out, just ask them and they'll order it for you and get it to you pretty quickly.
Well, I'm going to definitely get it for my wife to read. Being a strong man, a woman wants. Again, we're talking to Elliot Katz. Elliot, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
My home. kids are starving in Japan, so eat it, just eat it. Don't wanna argue, I don't wanna debate. Don't wanna hear about what kind of food you hate. You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it. Eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it. Just eat it. Just eat it. Just eat it. Your table manners are a crying shame. You're playing with your food to send some kind of game. Now if you starve to death, you'll just have yourself to blame. So eat it. Just eat it. You better listen, better do what you're told. You haven't even touched your tuna casserole. You better chow down or it's gonna get cold. So eat it. Yogurt, have some more Spam. It doesn't matter if it's fresh or canned. Just eat it, eat it. Don't you make me repeat it. Have a banana, have a whole bunch. It doesn't matter what you had for lunch. Just eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. Eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it.
Folks, welcome back to the show. I have Kevin Mitchell on the line. Kevin is an executive chef and quite a great chef. He has a remarkable resume, and he's the creator of tasty yet healthy food. Now, that's something I've never been able to quite conceive of. I like my fried chicken. I like fatback. Anything green, I try to avoid.
Well, you know, I love fried chicken too, and you know, bacon and all those good things. And
now you're talking my language.
Everyone says fat is flavor, but there's some great ways to make those particular items healthy. I mean, well, not necessarily bacon, but you can substitute other items to get that smoky bacon flavor.
Really?
And there's nothing wrong with having those foods in moderation. I mean, you can eat fried chicken, but you can't eat it every day. You can't
That's
eat bacon
bad.
Every day. Even though I would love to eat bacon every day. I love bacon, but there's other ways to get around that.
Well, in my case, all I eat is garbage, and my cholesterol is good, and I've never been sick a day in my life. In fact, my wife made some healthy soup, and that almost killed me. I've got to tell you the truth. I felt horrible eating that stuff. Kevin, what do you recommend that people do that tastes good and that can be healthy?
Well, if you want to substitute that bacon-y flavor, you can always use things like smoked turkey. You can buy a smoked turkey wing or a smoked turkey leg.
I like smoked turkey legs. I do like that.
If you're making collard greens or greens or if you want to just substitute that bacon flavor, you can use those items in your greens. And then, of course, for breakfast, you can always have some really nice turkey bacon, which is also a good substitute for that as well.
Well, are there things you can do to hide, like, the taste of these things? Make them taste better?
The flavor of something like smoked turkey is going to basically mimic the flavor of bacon. I mean, because they're both smoked products. However, of course, the turkey is a lot better for you.
Yeah, but something good about that pork, I got to tell you.
I agree. But once again, you know, anything in moderation is always good. You know, trust me, as a chef, and I talk a lot about healthy eating, and I talk to, you know, kids about healthy eating, and I'm not going to lie and say I don't eat bacon, because bacon has a very intoxicating aroma to it.
It does.
If it's someone's cooking it in the kitchen and you're smelling it, I'm going to have a piece of bacon. But I'm not going to eat a whole 2 pounds of bacon, but I'm still going to get my bacon.
Well, I always liked bacon, but when I discovered Fatback, I kind of replaced bacon with Fatback, because that's all the best part of the bacon.
Yes.
That is so
good.
And
that also gives you that bacony, smoky flavor as well. But once again, just, you know, everything in moderation.
Well, that's probably right. I can't argue that with you. Kevin, where are you working now? You're a chef. Where are you cooking?
Actually, I am a chef instructor at the Culinary Institute of Charleston.
Wow.
In Charleston, South Carolina. So I'm teaching. Wow. I turned in basically my career, and I'm teaching future chefs.
How interesting. So you're teaching people to cook the kind of food I don't like to eat, typically.
Oh, no. I mean, I do some healthy cooking classes, but...
I am teasing you.
No, but actually this weekend in class, we made bacon. So we're still learning about, you know, the process of curing and brining and smoking to make bacon. but we also do have healthy cooking classes as well.
Is there a healthy way to make fried chicken? I like Crisco myself.
Crisco was something that's been passed down through generations.
Yeah, my mother and grandmother used to use that.
We at the school will use a non-saturated fat. We use, you know, whether it's a canola oil that goes into a fryer or...
Yeah, but this canola oil can't taste like Crisco.
No, it does not taste like Crisco. And there's definitely a place for Crisco, but if you're looking more in the health conscious route, you need to look at substituting the fat in which you fry it in.
Probably right about that. Now, you know, pie, I love pie, but if you don't put lard in that pie crust, it just doesn't taste the same.
No, lard is a very good product to use in pies.
And I
actually,
love lard.
In the pie crust, whether it's lard even Crisco, it's very good. And, you know, it's just taking those things in moderation. You know, I don't teach people about totally excluding certain things
That's
from their
good.
Diet. It's just I teach them about using that stuff in moderation. And, you know, it's okay if you have a day where you have a piece of fried chicken, but let's balance it out throughout the rest of the week by eating,
well,
you know, maybe some baked chicken.
I'll go with that, as long as I can have my chicken with Crisco.
Yes.
Kevin, have you written a book? Is there anything that you'd like to tell everybody about?
Actually, I ran a test kitchen for a cookbook.
Really?
Focusing on Gullah cuisine. Gullah Geechee cuisine, which is basically, it's really big in this particular area of Charleston, because you have, basically, it's food that was brought over by slaves in West Africa.
Yes.
And basically, using the materials and the items that were here in America to prepare food. Now, Gullah is a little bit different than, I guess, what people would say is soul food, because Gullah is featured or focuses more around seafood, because, you know, this particular area, we're a port city, so there's
nothing. These are not foods that were developed here. There's foods actually from Africa.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yes. What happened when the climate here in this particular area is very conducive, or was at one point very conducive for growing rice. However, the settlers here didn't know how to grow rice, so
really?
They had
That's
to find
interesting.
people who knew how to do it, and the climate in certain parts of West Africa is very conducive for growing rice. And so that's how a lot of the slave trade came. They went to those areas in West Africa and brought those slaves over to run and mine the rice fields and grow rice.
So you actually have African recipes that people can cook.
Yes.
Not soul food recipes. You don't cook missionaries. Yes. That's not, they don't do that anymore.
But the
I'm
cookbook
sorry.
Is no, it's okay. The cookbook is centered around that particular culture when those people were brought here.
Fascinating. Can you tell us the name of the cookbook, Kevin?
It's called Gullah Cuisine.
Gullah Cuisine, and is it available at Amazon or at Barnes & Noble?
Yes. Yes, it's Gullah Cuisine by Land, by Sea. And I ran a test kitchen, and the author, her name is Charlotte Jenkins, who owns a Gullah restaurant here in the Charleston area. She and I worked together probably about 4 or 5 months on these are basically her family recipes that had been passed down, and I basically ran the test kitchen to
fascinating
basically bring them to the home cook so they can better understand how
well,
to prepare.
Kevin, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and I recommend that everyone get Gullah Cuisine and patterned in, or if you're in Charleston, you can go to the Gullah restaurant, or if you go to culinary school, Kevin will teach you healthy cooking in Charleston.
Yes.
Kevin, thank you
so
much for coming on the show.
AMFM247.com, the best of talk and music 24/7. Pre-recorded talk shows, multiple hour show opportunities are available. Weekly, bi-weekly, and monthly spots are available. You can sell your commercials in your time block and keep 100% of the earnings. 2-month free trial available March and April of 2014 will cost you absolutely nothing. After that, there's a monthly fee with no term contracts. Show packages start at $150 a month after your free 2-month period. We can help you prep your talk show for iHeartRadio if you're not currently on it. We use our top-rated public relations firm to promote your program. We create you a landing page on the website for you to promote the program, current guests, and show news. We can submit your show to iHeartRadio and manage all the ins and outs for you. That's AMFM247.com. That's AMFM247.com.
Come I'm leaving to Mars. Yeah, we leaving across these undefeatable odds. It's like this, man, you can't put a price on a life. Nah, we do this for the love, so we fight and sacrifice every night. So we ain't gonna stumble and fall, never. Nah. Waiting to see what's in the sign of defeat. So we gonna keep everyone moving their feet. So bring back the beat, and then everyone sing.
It's not about the money.
Folks, welcome back to the show. I am delighted to have Dr. Aaron Kipnis on the line. Dr. Kipnis is from Santa Monica, California, and he is a psychologist. And what we're talking about is an interesting area about money issues and how money drives us crazy and how it's probably the number one reason for divorce. Dr. Kipnis, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be with you.
It's my pleasure. Now, tell us, money can be the root of all evil, I guess, can't it?
Well, you know, actually, in the Old Testament, what it says, and a lot of us misappropriate it the way you just said it, is it's actually the love of money that's the root of all evil. So money in itself is a neutral substance. It's like electricity. You know,
right.
It can either power our homes or it can, you know, it could fry us, depending on how we use it. And money is the same way. It's a medium of exchange. It's a dynamic form of energy. And if we use it well, it can improve our lives. But if it starts using us, it can destroy them.
I know, you know, when I was first married the first time, my father said that when money flies out the wood, when money goes out the door, love flies out the window.
Yes. Well, you know, you mentioned divorce. It was one of the things that surprised me when I was doing research for my book, that of all the things that drive couples apart, money seems to be the number one factor. They argue about other things more, how to raise the kids, who does what, who does the dishes, that kind of thing. But what actually ends the marriage is an irresolvable dispute.
Sometimes you're just married to a spender, and when you don't have the money to spend, it causes real trouble.
Can, but even affluent couples have the same troubles.
And, you know, things are not easy today. I know most families take two incomes to really run the household.
That's been a real change in the last generation. In the 1950s, one person's income was sufficient to provide a comfortable middle-class income.
But that's
right. Now both parents are at work, and that's a big shift for the kids, too. Nobody's home and they come home.
I know my father used to say my mother was like Theodore Roosevelt. She'd walk into Saks and she'd say, "Charge."
Is that a true story? That's a funny story.
It is a good story. Are there any sage advice or tips that you could give people to get through these things? Because people are hurting right now. It's not real easy times.
Well, I think the most important thing that I've learned from this research, and I think is important for others to know, there's a kind of a false belief in our culture that if some money makes us happier, more money will make us even happier in an endless progression.
Well, that's true. You know, there's only so much you really can spend.
That's true. And at some point, trying to make more and more actually takes away from the things in life that does make us happy. So after somewhere between $75,000 and $130,000 a year, depending on where you live, flyover states, $75,000 and on the coast, it's around $130,000. When you start trying to earn more than that, even though nice things might happen, like a better car or bigger house or vacation,
Right.
It doesn't actually make you happier. And
well,
for
no,
some people, it actually starts to make them less happy because they lose time with the people they love. They lose time doing the things that really make them happy, that they enjoy their activities.
I agree with you there. I mean, money isn't everything. I mean, health is at least 5%.
Yeah, no health, no wealth.
That is so true. And, you know, you live in kind of an expensive area, so you need money to live in California, especially in Southern California.
That's true, but what has surprised me, even my private practice is in one of the most affluent areas in the world.
Yes, it is.
How many of my clients who make considerable incomes and have quite a bit of savings are suffering around financial issues.
Very interesting. And, you know, I grew up in Beverly Hills, and I lived there for a good part of my life. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. It seems like the ones that wanted the most and had the most things were the people that probably had the least money and could least afford it.
Yeah, well, I often see people who do have a lot of things, but they're tired, their lives are cluttered.
Right.
They've lost the romance in their marriage. Their kids are alienated, and they're coming to me and going, "Where did I go wrong? I thought was following the right philosophy in America, which is to just keep getting ahead and climbing the ladder."
Yeah. Avarice and greed is not too good.
Against the wrong wall.
Dr. Kipnis, can you tell us a little bit about the book that you've written and how people can get it?
Well, it's called The Midas Complex, How Money Drives Us Crazy and What We Can Do About It. And you can get it on Amazon or ask your local bookstore to order it. Or
well, I am going to get that myself, and I'm going to give it to my wife to read.
Good.
I really do appreciate it. It's the Midas Complex, How Money Drives Us Crazy, right?
Right.
By Dr. Aaron Kipnis. You can get it on Amazon, I imagine, Barnes & Noble. Do you have a website that you'd want anyone to go to?
I do. And I have a blog there, so I'm always writing more information about this subject. And it's aaronkipnis.com, AaronKipnis.
Very, very, very good. And, you know, of all the psychologists I've ever spoken to, you do seem to have the most common sense. A lot of them are nuts.
Wow.
A lot of them really are nuts. But you are very, very good in what you're saying, and you do
Thank
make
you.
A lot
We've
of sense.
We've got to be a little nuts to get into this business and want to hang out with people.
Oh, well, yeah, you're talking to nutty people all day. That's the rub off. Dr. Kipnis, thank you so much for coming on the show. folks, welcome back to the show. I have an expert in managing human relationships and potential and performance online. We have Mark Ward. He had his own personal journey of self-discovery. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stuart.
I really am happy to have you on because you've got some very great things to tell us. Primarily, you say that people really have a way of sabotaging themselves.
Indeed they do.
Well, I can't agree with you more than that. Can you tell us a little bit of just what you're referring to and give us some examples?
Absolutely. I think that people really tend to limit their success in three ways. And the first and most prevalent way, which is probably the most obvious, is that they never take the time to actually define it. You have to define success if you hope to achieve it. And you have to know how you're actually going to measure it, because if you haven't, how will you know when you have actually arrived?
I think a lot of people are so afraid of failure that they're afraid to succeed. I have a son like that, and he's not a child. He's an adult. He's in his 40s, but he had tremendous potential. But every time he would become successful, and just at the verge of being successful, he would do everything to sabotage himself so he would fail.
Well, you know what, Stuart? I have a different way of thinking about that. In my experience of working with people, I have come to believe that it's actually not fear of failure, but fear of success.
What is it, the fear of? What is it?
Well, what I have found is I've worked with a lot of people over the years that when they get very close and they're in that last inning of the game, so to speak, they will do something to trip themselves up, to sabotage themselves. And what I have found is underneath all of that with the majority of people that I've worked with is it's this fear that what if that thing, that vision, that dream that you've had for your life is not actually as fulfilling as you think it will be.
Interesting.
Then it will bring your whole life into question and lead you to believe that everything in your life has actually been a lie. So I think for a lot of people, there's actually a fear of actually achieving that dream for fear that it won't be all that they thought it would be.
That's very interesting.
Then what do you
do? I never looked at it like that. That's very interesting. And
I think the second way that people tend to limit their success is by focusing on what they think they can have rather than what they really want. Because when you begin to define your possibility as some sort of perceived limitation, well, guess what? Your life is going to be limited because you are rarely going to exceed your own vision of possibility. So if you want to live large, you have to think large. You have to decide that you are going to be the exception rather than simply the rule.
That makes a lot of sense. But you have to be realistic, too.
You do have to be realistic, but I don't think you should allow your idea of what is realistic to limit your vision of possibility. One of the things that you do have to do, just as due diligence, is to begin to ask yourself, has there ever been anyone on the planet that has achieved anything similar or achieved something that you are trying to do? And if there has been, then that possibility definitely exists for you as well.
See, that's what something I've always done in my life and all the businesses I've been in. I'd rather be Avis. I'd like to be number two. It always scared me being the first one ever trying something, because I've always wondered, why didn't somebody else do this?
Right. But I get it.
The Japanese are great at that. They were today they're innovators, but they were great copiers. They would just take something we had and make it better. And improve it.
Exactly.
Very interesting.
And I think also the third way that people tend to limit their success is they tend to focus their energy on the means rather than the end.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is, I'll give you an example. I had a lady who called me recently who, when we were going through her objectives, one of her goals was to find the best school for her MBA. Well, that's not really her goal. Her real goal is about what she believes that MBA is going to provide her, what that is going to bring to her life. Now, it's not that that is a bad avenue to explore, certainly, but if your real objective is what that is going to provide you, let's not limit ourselves. Let's explore all of the possible options that are going to bring you to that end goal.
I think you're absolutely right. Also, a lot of people are driven by the moment and by the money they can earn at the moment, not looking to do the best job they can do for people. I was in the mortgage business for over 20 years, and I never worried about what my fee was going to be. My job was to do the best job for my client, and I never closed a deal that I didn't get paid, so I didn't worry about the money. You know, you have to set your mind to do the job that you're doing in the best possible way, and then the financial rewards will come later, automatically.
You're absolutely right, and I wish that more people were aware of that. You know, one of the things that I focus on in my work with companies and with people that mystifies a lot of people at the onset is one of the questions that I ask is, who do you want to be?
Exactly.
Because what I have found is, even if people are not clear about what their vision is, what it is that they want to create for their life, if you focus on who you want to be rather than simply what you are going to do, the rest will eventually take care
of
itself.
Right.
The vision will start
itself.
To emerge.
It does. Mark, have you written a book?
I have not written a book yet. I have lots of material
to
write one, and I have never put it on paper.
You really should, because you have a lot of insight. I can't
thank
you
so
enough
much.
For coming
that.
On the show. Do you have a website you would like to direct anyone to?
I absolutely do.
Tell us, please.
My latest venture is AskMarkWard.com.
Okay, so everybody, we're talking to Mark Ward. He has a lot of insight, and I think he has a lot he can give you and help you, and you go to AskMarkWard.com. That's M-A-R-K-W-A-R-D. I think you know how to spell ask. If you don't bother going. Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
AMFM247.com, the best of talk and music 24/7. Pre-recorded talk shows, multiple hour show opportunities are available. Weekly, bi-weekly, and monthly spots are available. You can sell your commercials in your time block and keep 100% of the earnings. 2-month free trial available March and April of 2014 will cost you absolutely nothing. After that, there's a monthly fee with no term contracts. Show packages start at $150 a month after your free 2-month period. We can help you prep your talk show for iHeartRadio if you're not currently on it. We use our top-rated public relations firm to promote your program. We create you a landing page on the website for you to promote the program, current guests, and show news. We can submit your show to iHeartRadio and manage all the ins and outs for you. That's AMFM247.com. That's AMFM247.com.
Even if Fred was a little special. Fred was kind with good intent, but just a little different. Oh, special Fred. Mama dropped him on his head. Now he's not so bright instead. He's a little bit special.
Welcome back to the show. We have a regularly weekly scheduled conversation with Fred Claridge, the stock market moron. Fred, how are you?
Hey, I am doing great, and I've done it again.
What did
I
you do?
I stepped right into it.
What happened?
Remember a week or two ago, I recommended to all you fans and fannies out there to take a look at a stock called ADT.
Yeah, the burglar alarm company.
Remember that? That's the company that's headquartered down in Florida, and they do all the alarms and, you know, help, I've fallen down and I can't get up. Well, that's what happened to me.
What happened? How did you do?
Well, I bought the stock at 40, as I recommended all of you do, and son of a gun, the next day the stock went down about 9 points. It's down 10 points since I recommended it. But seriously now, it's something that one should consider. The stock's around $30. You're going to be buying it for $10 less than what I paid for it. And at this point, I really think it's a good buy. No, a really good buy.
Well, whenever you buy stock that you buy, you're going to pay less than what you paid for it, Fred.
Well, you know, I pay retail plus 10.
Well, let me ask you a question just briefly. This week, how did you do? Were you up?
What was
your, how much were you down?
Remember, the stock market had its worst month since 2009, but I didn't beat my record of 1.5 million, but I did have one heck of a percentage-wise, one heck of a...
So your record, as if everybody hasn't heard Fred lost a million and a half dollars in one day.
That's a hard record for me to break right now, although as you can see, I try very, very hard.
Well, keep that up, Fred, and eventually you'll have zero.
Well, you know, if I keep it up, then I wouldn't have to be in the stock market.
Well, you know, you live in Las Vegas. Wouldn't you be just better throwing it on the roulette wheel on red?
Oh, without a doubt.
Or black or anything?
Oh, no, no. When I bet the roulette wheel, I always go for the double ought on the green.
Okay, well, you know, I think living in Vegas, I think maybe you should give up the stock market and just go to the crap table.
With my luck, Stuart, I would get hit by another car driving down to the casino.
Fred, thanks again for coming on, and we'll hear how you did next week.
Oh, yeah, if I still could afford the phone, you will.
Thanks. Bye.
Be good, my friend.
You too.
Don't buy it. I guarantee you I will stay away from that puppy.
We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.
I love it. Thank you, my friend.
AMFM247.com, the best of talk and music 24/7. Pre-recorded talk shows, multiple hour show opportunities are available. Weekly, bi-weekly, and monthly spots are available. You can sell your commercials in your time block and keep 100% of the earnings. 2-month free trial available. March and April of 2014 will cost you absolutely nothing. After that, there's a monthly fee with no term contracts. Show packages start at $150 a month after your free 2-month period. We can help you prep your talk show for iHeartRadio if you're not currently on it. We use our top-rated public relations firm to promote your program. We create you a landing page on the website for you to promote the program, current guests, and show news. We can submit your show to iHeartRadio and manage all the ins and outs for you. That's AMFM247.com. That's AMFM247.com.
This is Stuart Venner. I really want to thank you for tuning into this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more, talk with us, or make suggestions for topics or guests, then follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Stuart Venner or Facebook at facebook.com/Stuart Venner's World. Remember, you can hear all of our shows and see what's new at stuartvenner.com. If you want to hear the Stuart Venner Show in your own area, contact your local radio station and request us. In fact, hound them. Tune in next week for more amazing guests and stories. Thank you.
I wet myself.
Aren't you ashamed?